blessed by him, because this is unusual. And I think what you're seeing is God is bringing people together that I like how Doug said and how Mark said. I just want to know the truth. The truth. I'm tired of being lied to. I'm tired of just being told, go sit in a corner with your ideas and your thoughts. No feedback. This is a Bible study. And like Pastor said, nothing's changed here. Comments, questions. Let me tell you where I'm coming from. I was a Greek trad and a dispensationalist, all that stuff. And I remember it was about 20 years ago, me and Kevin were in the bathroom at the post office, and we were talking. We realized that George Bush Jr. was a phony.
Come on.
And you know, and everyone was looking for the end of the world. And I just turned to him. I said, "Boy, we could be gone at any second." And all that he said to me was, "I'm not so sure about that." And that just because I was reading things in my Bible that did not agree with, and I will name names because they need to be called out.
Amen.
With the Chuck Misslers, the Jimmy DeYoungs, the Billy Crones, all these end time prophecy guys. And I was reading stuff in my Bible because you're just a young Christian and you don't really understand things. You're putting so much emphasis on what they're saying that you're just trusting them and you're figuring you're wrong. Well, one of those was 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where last year he had me here, mm-hmm. where I taught on that, where, you know, it says we're going to see Antichrist first. Mm-hmm. Well, if I'm going to see the Antichrist first, that takes me to the middle of the tribulation.
Right.
So that right there eliminated pre-trib. And I just started asking God. I just said, "Lord, I just want to know this. I want to understand it." And he gave me two words. Tribulation and wrath. They're not the same thing. And what the pre-tribbers will say, or I'll call them dispensationalists or pre-tribbers, they'll take 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, and say, "We are not appointed to God's wrath. Therefore, we don't go through the tribulation." And they're not the same. God's wrath is a one-day event when he is anger and he is destroying things like he did at the flood, like he did at Sodom and Gomorrah. Tribulation is what man is appointed to. Mm-hmm. Yes. And he just started, it's been 20 years now I've been studying it. It's not even a gray area. It's not even a gray area whether it's pre, mid, it is post. And there's a lot of you that have encouraged me and it's been a blessing. But I also had some people that I think said in the past that they were discouraged. Do not let this discourage you.
That's right.
God, he's God. He wins. No matter how this plays out, he's going to win, and you're on that side. So let this be an encouragement to you. And I'm telling you, what I start to realize is a lot of people are starting to see what's going on. I'm going to get to you. A lot of people are starting to see what's going on, and they, like Mark and Doug, we just want to know the truth. Go ahead, Bill.
So, if we don't survive it, where are we going to be?
That's right. Exactly.
So, that's encouragement is where I'm going with it.
Yeah. And, you know, now, and I've said it before. You know, and Randy, we said it. There is a group in the book of Revelation, in Revelation 12, that is going to be taken and hidden for 3.5 years. So, it's not, everybody's not going to be slaughtered and persecuted. There is, I don't know who it is. But no matter how this plays out, what God, this is what God did for me. Tom, trust me.
Amen.
Trust me, Tom. Stop trusting your flesh. Stop worrying about your flesh. Trust me. I will lead you through this no matter how it plays out. So, and like Pastor said, I would like to reset. I'd like to kind of build a foundation. There's words. Go ahead, Al.
Part of that foundation, you said you're on God's side, he's on the winning team. Understand, that's another lie given to us. Okay? Today we're on the winning team. But if you don't stand fast and hold fast.
That's right.
Yes.
And that's right.
First fear unto death.
Okay? I'm not going to just say, "Lord, save me," and now I'm on the winning team.
That's right.
Everybody for years has been taught. If you just say this prayer,
that's right.
That's a done deal.
Right. There's no change in your life. You don't look any different than the pagan down the road, but yet you said some prayer, right, and you're good to go. It's not how it works.
Exactly.
There better be a change in your life. And that, this is, once again, this dispensationalism. They use a whole bunch of cliches that sound biblical. Once saved, always saved. Look that up in your Bible. Get up some Bible software and look up the verse, once saved, always saved. It's not there. Go ahead.
There's a reason why the New Testament is constantly saying to those that overcome, you need to persevere. Run the race. It's encouraging you that, you know what, if you don't just stand still.
Yeah.
You got to keep moving forward. You got to keep digging. You got to keep looking towards God, because anyone can fall away.
I shared this with our group Tuesday. There's a constant, God is constantly telling you, not even the only New Testament, but the Old Testament. All these, Tuesday, all those notes there, those are all the, if ye do this, then I. So it is an enduring faith that endures till the end.
Abiding in Him.
Abiding in Him. So how do I know once saved, always saved? As long as I abide in Him, He abides in me.
Amen.
Once you stop abiding, see, that's another one. That's what I say. These are all these cliches that they make up. And dispensationalism has stolen the Word of God, and they had one guy who decided that we've all been studying it wrong. And now he's going to put in a book and a whole bunch of charts on how it actually plays out. And this is the cliches they come up with. Well, I'm looking for Jesus Christ, not the Antichrist. Would you beat up your bride before you marry her? Well, the second coming, first he comes for the church, then with the church. All these cliches that sound good, they're not. They're just made up by a man that does not want to go through these things. And listen, who are you trying to kid?
I don't want to go through it.
I don't.
We don't make the call.
That's right.
We don't make the call.
Jesus cried tears of blood just before he went through with the last of his tribulation.
That's right.
But he went through it.
That's right.
He went through it, and the reward was. I think if any one of us could see a glimpse into heaven for a second, we would throw everything away and say, I don't care how they kill me.
That's right.
Man is appointed to die once. It says that. But that's in the flesh. If the flesh is appointed to die once, why not glorify the Lord with that?
Why do you say that? That's exactly it. Would you rather be dying with somebody lopping your head off and Jesus on your lips?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that the way you want to go? I'm dying anyway.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to avoid this. I would rather go glorifying Him. And I'll say it again. A pre-trib or even a mid-trib, it's self-centered. It's about me. It's about me not wanting to get in prison, not wanting to be persecuted, not wanting to be martyred. It's about me. A martyrdom or a persecution is about Him. It's about me testifying about Him. And that's what glorifies Him. And as I said, the book of Revelation, we're going to look at it. I don't even know if we're going to get into it yet. But we're going to build a foundation. We're going to understand words. So when you start to see these things, you'll see it. And that's what I want you to see. I want you to see it. I want you to be able to see it here, but not only that, to defend it. Because it's coming.
Right.
And you know who God's going to use? Us foolish people. You know what He wants. Because sixth grade education took me 13 years to get through 12 years of school. He's using us. He's bringing us together to show the world of what's about to take place. While all the ones that are in their suits and ties in pulpits on Sunday morning, you know, they won't touch this. And they get my friends. No, I've been frustrated. I've had a pastor that I've been friends with that have been trying to share this with. He doesn't want to hear it. And I said, it's your responsibility to feed God's flock, to prepare them for what's coming. Instead of just 45 minutes, 5 points, a couple jokes, and, you know, you're dismissed now. That's not how the church works. This is a church. There's so much unity here. Yeah, hang in there. Don't let this discourage you. We're going to learn to God. I'll tell you what this study's done for me. It has brought me to this, and this alone. Not the videos, not the books, not the charts, the Word of God. And God has just proven that He is God.
Amen.
So, I can't remember who brought it up. Actually, what we're talking about is the 7-year period. That's the book of Revelation. That's Matthew 24. That really covers it. And the question in Matthew 24 is, you're going to turn to Daniel. Okay. Matthew 24, the question the disciples asked him, and I'm always going to try to do this with this group. I'm not going to fight on that hill, but I'm always going to try to get you to the King James. And here's one of the reasons. Matthew 24 says, and he sent him out on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came unto him privately, say, tell us when these things shall be, which shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world. That's key. The end of the world. A lot of versions say the end of the age or time. So if it says, think of that, if it says end of the age, if this new old age is ending, you're now entering into the new age. Right? That's a time period. It's also Helen Blavatsky, you know, that's Theosophical Society. If your Bible says end of the world, that's not only a time period, he's talking about the planet. When Christ comes, he's going to regenerate the planet back to the way it was at the garden. So like I say, I'm not going to fight on that hill, but
what verse is that?
It's Matthew 24:3. are you guys there at Matthew 24? I know I should be there. So we're going to go with Daniel. So Matthew 24:3, just look at this. And he sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us what shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world. So that's a conjunction. He's tying that together. His coming, the sign of his coming, and the end of the world. And if you look at...
But that is the disciples saying that.
Yes.
They're asking him.
Yes.
But then from that point on, he's going to tell them. He doesn't say it's none of your business. He's going to start to explain to them when the sign of the coming is and the end of the world. So verse 27, he says, for as lightning cometh out of one part out of the east and shineth unto the west, so also the coming of the Son of Man be. So there's a key word, the coming. Right? So there's one key word. Remember it, we're gonna keep going back to these words, the coming. That's singular. That's a singular word.
Okay. Real quick, right, the next verse after that, he adds, the coming of the Son of Man be, or wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered.
Yeah.
That's pretty specific verbiage he's using there.
Yeah, and that's do we know what that's talking about?
I think I do.
Yeah.
That's Armageddon.
That's where a whole lot of folks die.
That's right.
All at the same time.
That's right. Yeah. So, and you see that in Luke, he says the same thing. Wherever the carcass is, that's where the eagles are gathered. So they're the ones feasting on the dead bodies at Armageddon. So when you read that, who's being brought there? They are. He's gathering them to the Battle of Armageddon. Okay, so remember that. He says, they are asking, what is the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? In verse 30, it says, then shall appear the sign, so he's going to answer their question, as is Jesus now, then they shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and all tribes of the earth shall mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and he shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So, there's a lot, we're just going to wing this thing, okay? I wasn't supposed to be there. So he says that he's going to gather his elect from heaven to heaven.
Right.
Right? Where are dead saints right now?
Oh, and under the altar in heaven.
Right? Their souls?
Right.
Are they resurrected?
No.
No. So they're in heaven. Right? So, First Thessalonians 4, everybody knows this, right? First Thessalonians, if you want to turn there, we can. I show you this in the two Olivet discourses. Go ahead, Ash.
So you just said the dead saints, their souls,
that's right,
are in heaven.
Yeah.
But they're not resurrected, you mean their bodies
are still in
heaven. Their soul is a spiritual, physical body. How do we know this? Because the rich man and Lazarus, Lazarus was in paradise in his soul, and he's communicating, he's touching water, and the rich man is saying, send Lazarus. So it's a when you leave, you enter another dimension, right? The dimension where God is, or the dimension of hell. So that's what your soul is prepared for. That's your body. Your skin is covered, your soul, but your soul is your dimensional body,
right,
and it has a spirit.
So when you're saying not resurrected,
right,
you're talking about the physical body.
A resurrection, like we said last week, is what happened to Jesus Christ. He went into the grave with one body. He came out with a glorified, eternal body. Everybody, saints, are awaiting a new resurrected body that is going to be physical.
Well, Paul said a couple things. I don't know what I will be like when I see him.
That's
when
right.
I get there, I'll be like
that's
him.
Right.
Another thing about Lazarus and the rich man, from Luke 19, I believe it is, he talks, they still have all of their cognitive senses.
That's right.
All right, so they feel, they hunger,
yeah,
they thirst. They have concern for the people that are left on the earth. All right, but one is in Abraham's bosom, and the other is in a place of torment. When the man died on the cross with Christ, Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise.
That's right.
You will be with
That's
me
right.
in that place of comfort. The other guy, when he passed away, there was no comfort for
That's
him.
That's right.
But he still entered into eternity.
Yeah. Both groups get resurrected. The
okay.
believer
yeah.
and the unbeliever. The believer gets resurrected into eternal life, a glorious white raiment. It's going to be forever. The unbeliever gets resurrected with a corrupt resurrection to suffer forever. You know, and Jesus explains this in the parable of the wheat and the tares.
Mm-hmm.
He says the wheat and the tares are
seeds planted by Satan.
Well, the tares are the wicked ones.
Right.
The wheat are the glorified ones, are the blessed. What does he say? The harvest is the end of the world.
Yeah.
Let both grow together, right? We see this with Darnell and wheat. They both look the same during the first growth process, but then at the harvest time, the wheat are golden, ready for harvest. That's us. But the tares are burnt, dark.
Mm-hmm.
That's a resurrected body for the wicked. We get a resurrected body for the glorified. Make sense?
Back to Matthew there, verse 30, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. What's the sign?
The sign is him coming in the clouds, that everyone sees him coming in the clouds.
He says, I will return and every eye shall see me. Is that?
It's that's Revelation 1:7. Every eye.
Every eye.
Go ahead, Jake.
Yeah, I think if you want to see the souls that are communicating with Christ, you got Revelation 6:9-11.
Yeah,
right.
Has the souls up in heaven actually talking to Christ?
That's right. Yeah. So Matthew 24, Mark 13, and 1 Thessalonians 4. We all know that those are the rapture verses, right?
Right.
So, is anybody there? Anybody there? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm not even there.
What did you think?
Matthew 24, Mark 13, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to show you this rapture in Matthew 24 and Mark 13. So let's start at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 13 says, but I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are dead. Asleep.
Right.
Okay? That ye sorrow not, even as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming, singular, of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. So that's a resurrection, right? Who rises first? The dead in Christ. Where are they? They're in heaven. They're gathered first, right? And we see this. The ones that are left on the earth see this. So now you think pre-trib. According to pre-trib, we could be gone at any second. Which means that we go before them. But that's not what your Bible says. Your Bible says he's going to gather them first. Where are they? In heaven. So he descends himself, right? He's going to descend into the atmosphere himself. He's going to resurrect people and gather them unto him. We see this. Right? Okay. Verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be. So here's the process. He descends, he resurrects, he gathers those souls in heaven to him. The veil between heaven and earth is ripped open now, because he's coming, right? We can now see into that dimension, and then we're caught up. Okay, Matthew 24 and Mark 13. Look at 29. Immediately after.
After
what?
Tribulation of those days.
After. Not before. After the tribulation of those days. Shall the sun be dark and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the power of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, as 1 Thessalonians 4, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So you can see how that matches 1 Thessalonians 4, right? Okay, Mark, remember, what's he saying here? From heaven to heaven. Okay, Mark 13, same thing. The olive of this work. It's the same synoptic gospel from a different angle. So he's going to say the same thing here. Look at 24, Mark 13, 24. But in those days after, what?
Tribulation.
The sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then they shall see the Son of Man coming into clouds with great power and glory. And he shall send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost parts of what? Earth. Matthew 24 says heaven. Mark 13 says earth. This is the same story in 1 Thessalonians. First he gathers them in heaven, and then from earth to heaven. So there it is. From earth. That's right. That's right. It's the same event.
My wife, she's in the grave.
That's right.
Her waiting this.
Her body's in the grave, but he is not going to raise that body.
No.
He's going to
raise the soul.
1 Corinthians 15 says, for this corruption must put on incorruption. And there's this thought that he's going to pull these people out of their graves and redo their dust. No. He has a better body prepared for us in heaven. An eternal one that's going to last forever.
Able to deal with that dimension.
That's right. That's able to deal with that dimension. So think of that. You're going to need a resurrected planet to live your resurrected body, because Jesus said that. He said to obtain that world and be resurrection. Well, guess who else? If there's people living on the earth with us that are living, they need a resurrected body to live in it too. Except their resurrection is to damnation. It's the second death. Right? Does it make sense? Go ahead, Jake.
Yeah, I think it'd be good to look at Job 14:12, because you know, your point now that the resurrection of the dead occurs after the tribulation, when the heavens are no more, the sun, the moon, the stars don't give their light, right?
Right.
And I'll read this out of Job chapter 14, verse 12. So man lieth down and riseth not, till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. I mean, that's in your face. You can't push that. And that's
right.
Holy man.
Keep reading 13, please.
Yep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past. That thou would appoint me a set time and remember me. And
so when will he come? Until what is past?
The wrath.
The wrath.
Wrath. And wrath tribulation.
No.
It's different.
This is wrath.
That's right.
Wrath is wrath.
That's right.
Isaiah 26, read 16 through 21. And you'll see verse 13.
Okay, so we're
there.
Let's keep me on subject. Let's stay on subject. So now, the thing about Revelation and studying end times is you can go walk down all these
roads. Right.
So far we've heard, you know, resurrection. I wasn't even supposed to talk about resurrection. Okay, so basically what we're talking about is that 7-year period. That's all I was trying to look at. So where do we find the 7-year period?
Daniel,
chapter 9. I don't know if you covered that. But
we're
going to go. So Daniel chapter 9.
As we're turning here, has anyone ever thought about that the moon shall not give her light, start fall from heaven, all powers be shaken, all that kind of stuff? That's a specific.
It's an event that's going to take place.
Joel speaks about it, Revelation 6:12, Isaiah 13:10. You know, and it's a very. And Jesus talks about it, okay?
Absolutely. It's in Revelation 6, it's in Matthew 24, Mark 30, Luke 21. As a matter of fact, you find this in Isaiah.
Yes.
A lot of prophecies, you find the sun shall be dark and the moon shall not give her light.
Mm-hmm.
Before the great and notable day of the Lord.
Right.
Right? So, what the pre-termers try to do is they try to say, well, the whole 7-year period is the day of the Lord. First of all, he doesn't call it the days of the Lord.
Right.
He says, the sun shall be dark and the moon shall not give her light before the great notable day of the Lord. Well, Matthew 24 says, after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. So now you can put that day of the Lord as one event right here. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's another word, the day of the Lord that we'll look at. There's common words that are going to get you to understand end times in the Bible. And do not let people tell you this is important. This is absolutely important. This is foundational. This is doctrine. God is teaching you how his Bible works. He's teaching you to trust in him, trust the word of God, and he's teaching you doctrine. So Daniel 9, we're going to get a 7-year period, right? And there's going to be a midway point. So, but there's numbers here. And I know some of you guys know it. I know Bill, Doug, Craig know all this stuff, but we're going to go through this. We'll take our time, right? We're in no rush.
No rush.
So Daniel 9:24. Now, incidentally, when you read Revelation, who's the angel that's speaking to John? It's Gabriel. He's right here in verse 2. Gabriel is the messenger.
Right.
Daniel
9:22. Yeah, 9:22. If you look at 21, 9:21, while I was yet speaking in prayer, even the man, Gabriel, who I had seen in the vision at the beginning, caused me to fly swiftly and touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me. Who came to Mary? Who came to Zechariah? Gabriel. Gabriel is Jesus' angel of the Lord.
Right.
Right. We know that Jesus is the angel of the Lord, capital A in the Old Testament. But he has an angel of the Lord, which is Gabriel.
Right.
Michael is the warrior.
Yeah.
Michael is the soldier. Michael commands an army. So those verses, when you see Michael the archangel, he's calling his angels with him. And the angels come and gather us up.
Yeah.
Okay, so the 9:24, 70 weeks are determined. So you got
So you got 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish transgression. Okay, so let's stop right there. He's clearly talking to Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel is a Jew, right?
So, right.
But is this just for Jewish people? Let's hear it out. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish transgression. Is that just for Jewish people?
No, transgression means sin.
That's right.
The end of sin.
That's right. To make an end of sins. Is that just for Jewish people?
No.
To make reconciliation for iniquity. Is that just for Jewish people?
No.
To bring in everlasting righteousness. Clearly not just for Jewish people. To seal up the vision of prophecy. There you go again. And to anoint the most holy. So you have 70 weeks, right? Weeks of years. How do we know the weeks of years? First of all, there's so many ways of knowing it. In Genesis, when Jacob has Rachel and Leah, he tells Jacob to fulfill, when he pulls a quick one out of him and gives him Leah, he tells him to fulfill his week, and then he can have Rachel, right? So now he had to work 7 years, and he had to work another 7 years. So you have 70 weeks are 7 weeks of years. All right, we'll get to them. Okay. There, verse 25. Know therefore and understand from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks. 7 weeks. Okay, so you have, if seven times 7 is 490, right? So you have 490 years that have to fulfill prophecy. But here he says, verse 25, to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 3 score and 2 weeks. So he breaks it up. 7 times 7, you have 49 years. Right? Why is this key? Well, this was the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem by Cyrus.
Mm-hmm.
And Daniel is reading the book of Jeremiah, and he's going, Jeremiah prophesied that we're just about done here, and that we're going to go back to Israel. So the command was to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. It took 49 years.
Right.
And even during troublous times, it was on and off. So when Jerusalem was finally built, there was 49 years. But you still have 62 weeks missing here,
mm-hmm,
until Messiah, the Prince, right? So you still have 62. Let me do some math.
434.
434.
What is it? 434.
434. I don't have that many toes. Oh. I was already there. Okay, so you have a total. So this here is until they crucified Christ.
Right.
So from this point here, and you now have 483 years. 490 minus 483 is a 7-year period that's still missing.
Still missing.
And it's not come yet. And that's basically what we're going to be covering, the 7-year period.
So we really, that's 69 weeks.
These are 69. Yeah, 7 and 62 are 69, but we're still missing a week.
Right, we're still missing a week. Okay.
Yeah. Does this make sense? Does everybody see this? Okay. So, here's the key to this. There's a beginning, right? There's a midway point, and then there's an end. We're looking for markers.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking for markers to look at as believers. So if we continue here, verse 26, and after 3 score and 2 weeks shall Messiah be crucified.
Right.
That happened.
Yeah.
So all this is now complete. Right? The 62
mm-hmm.
weeks,
right.
The 69 weeks are now complete. Okay. But not, here, once again, just Jewish people. After 3 score and 2 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. He was cut off for me.
Right.
That's right. And the people of the prince that shall come. Who is the prince that shall come?
It's the small horn. It's the little horn.
That's right. He's the Antichrist.
Right.
He's coming, right? And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and the end wars and desolations are determined. And he, who's he, shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. Antichrist. Antichrist is going to, I'm going to say something. Trump's had put a lot of covenants in place. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say he makes a peace treaty with Israel. It says he confirms the covenants of peace are already in place when he shows up. Mm-hmm. And he confirms it. And that starts the ball rolling. Okay? So he confirms a covenant with many for 1 week. Right? Mm-hmm. And in the midst of the week. When's the midst of the week? Right here. So that's 3.5 years in, right? And in the midst of the week shall the sacrifice and the oblation to cease for the overspreading of abominations. That's a key word. He shall make it desolate. That's a key word. And for the consummation that shall be determined and poured out upon the desolate. So what's he saying here? The Jews are going to build the temple, right?
Mm-hmm.
Clearly.
Right.
They're going to start the sacrifice. They're going to build the temple the first part of 3.5 years. They're going to offer sacrifices and oblations, right?
Mm-hmm.
This Antichrist comes in the middle of the week and cuts it off. That's it.
Yeah. Right.
From here to here, we have no idea who he is.
Right.
He's not revealed. He's just one of many anti-world globalist rulers that are running. There's 10 horns. He's the 11th.
Right. So Daniel saw the beast coming up, had 10 horns, and then a small horn coming out of that, out of one of those horns. And so this Antichrist, out of the 10 world leaders of those first 3.5 years,
that's right,
that Daniel sees,
right,
affecting or working together with the covenant or the agreement that's made with whatever the agreement is that Daniel speaks about.
Absolutely.
So for 3.5 years, it looks really peachy keen.
Absolutely.
Right? Everything is nice and all well painted. Things are going along just fine until that day.
That's right.
Right?
Until this.
Until this that point, yes.
Yep, this is the key to understanding the scripture. We're going to look at some more verses. So like Pastor just said, here's the covenant. The covenant is you people could rebuild your temple.
Right.
Okay? You can offer sacrifices. So they're going to be sacrificing again. The temple's going to be there. They're going to be practicing. Does that save them in the Old Testament?
No. No.
What saves you?
Jesus Christ. Yeah.
So this doesn't save them.
Never has.
Right? So now this guy, he takes the deadly wound, right? He miraculously survives it. And that's when Satan possesses him, and now he believes he's God.
Mm-hmm.
And he stands in the temple of God, he says, I'm God, worship me, and he cuts off the sacrifice, and he starts to scatter the Jewish people, right? All this he's not coming to Cleveland.
Right.
It's in Israel. But it's a global, he's a global dictator. The Antichrist is a global dictator. He's running things, but the center point, it takes place in Jerusalem.
Right.
So now he this is the abomination that causes the desolation.
There you go. Right.
So when he stands in the temple and says, I'm God, worship me, now they quote, no, you're not. See, a lot of people misunderstand the Antichrist. The Jews do not think he's Messiah. The Jews, Antichrist to them is a peaceful guy.
Right.
He's not the Pope. You're not going to get 1.5 billion Muslims to bow down to the Pope.
Right.
The Bible in Isaiah 28, in Isaiah 10, calls him the Assyrian.
Right.
He's coming from that area of the Middle East that is going to make peace.
Yeah.
Right? And so when he turns on them, I think you're in agreement. I think he's personally... He's Judas Iscariot.
Right.
When Judas Iscariot died, it said he went to his place.
And something else about Judas Iscariot, the name that's used for him, perdition.
Son of perdition.
The son of destruction. Mentioned twice.
That's right.
When Jesus called him that, and then in the Revelation. When he comes up.
That's right. And not only that, what did Jesus say about Judas Iscariot?
The devil hath entered you.
he said, thou art
the devil.
He didn't say you have a devil. He said you are a devil.
Yeah.
And when you read Revelation, one of the seven churches, he says, the devil, little d, mm-hmm. shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried.
Right.
So to me, this is, it doesn't matter. So if Judas Iscariot showed up today, would we know who he is?
No.
No. But he will become a global leader that we will know. So when all these global leaders fail, and he takes a deadly wound, and he is miraculously saved, whether it's a resurrection, I don't know how it plays out, but he's supposed to die, and he doesn't. Mm-hmm. That's when he steps into the temple. He says, I'm God, worship me. Not just Jews, everybody. This is when the mark is offered.
Right.
This. I just want to add a quick point to that. The Satan is going to call us to worship him.
Right.
Now, we worship our Lord through one mediator right now, it's through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit unites us as believers around the whole globe. Satan needs that same effect
That's
on
right.
the globe. I really need it to say, to warn you people, it's already established. The system of what you want to call social media or RF signals, whatever you want to call it, is the unholy medium by which all people are united.
Absolutely.
And are caused to worship of the beast. You have to be very careful and very understanding in that medium. We have the Holy Spirit, Satan has the social media,
yeah.
or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
We have to understand. All the understandings the apostles set forth, everybody came forth without any form of social media. It says in Revelation, in those days, knowledge will increase. Okay? That's not a good thing. That's
right.
not a good thing. Airplanes, automobiles, medicine,
social
none
media.
Of those things have drawn us closer to God. They've repelled us from it.
Right.
We put them in place of God.
That's good, yeah.
That's a very... The comforts that we endure in this country now are the very things that pull us down.
That's
they're
right.
not the things that help us.
That's right.
They're not the things that help us. Our famines and our persecutions are what draw us near the Lord. We have to have that very clear in our minds.
Absolutely.
And to know what we're playing with.
And to tie on to what Lawrence just said, remember when God came and scattered the people?
Mm-hmm.
What were they doing? They were building, they all spoke in one language.
Yes.
Right. They all understood equally what everybody else was saying, and they were building a tower that would reach up unto God,
right.
to the heavens. And God came down and checked it out, figured out that they were doing wrong, and he scattered the human race across the globe.
And that's an excellent point that we should remember, too, is God is omniscient. He's omnipresent. The Holy Spirit is. He dwells within the believer. Think opposites. There's always anti-types. You have the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, you have Satan, the Antichrist, and a lot of people want to say the false prophet. No. There's a spirit, a wicked spirit of Satanism, of Antichrist, that is going throughout the world. And you start... Are we going to have to see it manifest?
Yes. Very much the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
That's right. He's always a mimicker.
It is. He has the polar opposite.
That's right.
But
yes.
it's the mirrored image, only evil.
That's right. But he doesn't have what God has,
right.
omniscience, omnipower.
Yes.
He has to use social media. He has to, you know, he
yes.
has to use these other venues to get to his point.
Right? And
another thing that you have to remember, too, is with the computer system and stuff like that. See, God can talk to us in any language.
Yes.
That
right.
computer can talk to anybody in any language.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it can transfer my language to
yeah.
another language.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same thing.
Absolutely. It's affected, I can tell you this, it's affected in our life by our belief. If we believe on the Holy Spirit, we
right.
receive the fruit of the Holy Spirit. If we believe onto the flesh, onto Satan, onto his
that's
spirit,
right.
we will receive the fruit of that flesh.
Well,
that belief. Belief. Faith is been said it's said throughout the whole Bible. It is by faith.
That's right.
It is by belief that the power of God comes into our life.
That's right.
It is also by faith that the power of Satan can take us under that.
Absolutely.
Which do you believe? Which do you participate. One of the churches in Revelation says, don't let any man take your crown.
Right.
Which means it can be taken.
Yes.
Right? So this whole idea that, you know, you just bowed the knee and said some prayer, you are to endure until the beginning of the tribulation?
No.
You know?
The end.
Yes,
I know. I think 2020 is just a precursor to of deceiving the
world
and causing many supposed pastors to give away the mandate that the Lord gave the people.
65% of parishioners have not gone back to church.
Yeah.
What did Jesus say about the last days? It'll be a falling away first.
Yes.
First Timothy chapter 4 says, perilous times will come, many shall depart from the faith. You know, I tried to share this with my pastor. I said, there's going to be a falling away first.
Yeah.
You know what he said?
Yeah.
That's bad teaching.
Oh,
that means bad doctrine, bad teaching. I said, it does not mean that. I said, it means it's an apostasy.
Right.
It's an apostasy. It's people that were sitting next to you one minute in church singing Amazing Grace, and when the crap hit the fan, they said, I didn't sign up for this. I'm out of here.
Isn't it the wheat and the tares?
It's right. It's right. Don't forget, Jesus, he's warning the believer. Many, he says, in the last day, many will come to me saying, Lord, Lord. These aren't Muslims. They're not Buddhists.
Right.
They're people that are identifying with Christ. Many will come to me saying, Lord, Lord. You say, depart from me. I never knew you.
You were of iniquity.
That's right. Yeah.
So you're going to have the sheep and the goats. So when you look at them, you can't hardly tell them apart.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
But the sheep are the ones that actually hear Jesus' voice. Okay? The goats are hearing something else.
That's right.
Okay.
My sheep hear my voice.
Yeah.
My sheep hear my voice. This is the voice.
Amen.
This is Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You don't have Jesus without this.
Amen.
Jesus is the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. This is Him. You cannot have Him without this. And yet there are so many Christians that you go, open up to 2 Peter. Where is that?
Yeah.
You can't have salvation without Him and without this. And without the Holy Spirit,
amen.
There was a bunch of hands. Bill.
Well, you kind of distracted where I was going to go with this. But there's pastors in this city that people know that are not even saved.
Yeah.
And they're going to be seeing the depart from me and never knew you.
Absolutely.
The point of judgment.
That's a good question. Aren't even the pastors?
So a lot of us came from open door, which is not so open because the pastor has lost his mandate from the Lord to feed his sheep.
That's right.
Enforcing the governor's mandate instead.
But let's be careful, all right?
Yeah,
don't
true.
Be evil about God's
that's
glory.
True, too.
Right?
Understanding these are powers that are upon the people. These are effects that Satan has wrought upon the people. We don't tear up the people.
Right.
We're in war, and it's very clear. We battle not against flesh and blood. We battle against powers and principalities. And in keeping that focus, we will possess the sorrow for those who are under that burden, and not to come against those people, but to come against the powers and principalities that are causing that.
Right. That's right.
Everybody suffers.
All right.
Let's look at the suffering in that way.
Yeah.
And be careful about who we call out.
What is your name?
Now, last night I watched the BBC because I wanted to see something different. Like, what is the world saying about all of this pandemic? The whole world is scared.
Yeah.
And then I thought to myself, well, wait a minute. They have the same media problems we have.
That's right.
Yes, they do.
Because I'm like, wait a minute. In the United States, we're like, hey, this is ridiculous. This is wrong.
Yeah.
This has been reported wrong. This is false. We all know that. We all know that, right?
Yeah.
But yet, all that's being reported is fear and death and.
That's right.
And that's how Satan works, right?
Yeah.
This is globalism. This
right.
is Marxism. Marxism, communism is a satanic religion. It's not a political.
Yeah.
It's a satanic religion that says fear. Fear, and that's how Satan controls people out of fear and intimidation. right? If you're not on board, Bill, you know, you're the problem.
Yeah.
Right? And I can yell to go, I'm not wearing the mask. I'm not wearing it. I'm going to go to Walmart. I'm expecting to get yelled at by some little old lady, and I'm not wearing the mask. And this, see, we're the ones. We're the problem. And we're not only the problem, we're the problem in the Christian community. Mm-hmm. The ones that are going, I'm not going along with this.
Yeah. What is that something? Mm-hmm. I have a question on social media, on the practical side of it, daily living side of it. So it's either you should not use it at all, it is strictly the enemy's tool, or it is the place of battle, where we have the Holy Spirit, we still need to be the salt of the earth, we still need to be heard, yeah. But because we have the Spirit, so where do you
I think I may be able to answer that. So the Lord gives us much instruction on what is right and what is wrong, but he also tells us that we are not to possess his wisdom and well think we can wield his wisdom.
Right.
Okay? So I can't affection well be righteous just because I know who God is. I can only be righteous when God leads me and I do what he's told me. But the other part of that information is, you know, by their fruit, we're fruit inspectors. Somebody said it here before, we're fruit inspectors, not tree cutters. So God can use any medium he chooses to instruct us. And he does. Anybody that's done any amount of study at all will get a glimpse of wisdom from a source that's just incredible. And you wonder, where did that come from? But only when you're seeking the Lord first through the scriptures. Mm-hmm. We are given that information so that we can discern. We are to know them by their fruit. That word, knowing them by their fruit, is to cleave unto. It's an intimate cleaving unto those who are producing good fruit. Now I can tell you in my own life, there are times when I am walking in the Spirit where good fruit's coming forth. Cleave to me when that's happening. But there's other times too.
And you go into that, you stay away from
me. And depart from me when you see that fruit. It's not a matter of judging me whether I'm good or bad. It's a matter of when you see good fruit, cleave to it. And you can use the internet to that effect. If something is good, if the Lord is using it in a good way, because he can, you'll even use Satan's own voice to speak.
He will speak to your heart.
Yes, he will. And I say, just beware what fruit you're seeing.
Yeah.
When the bad fruit shows up, depart. Just push away. Don't try to beat it. Don't try to fight it. That's God's fight. And when it's good, cleave unto it.
Yeah.
And you can use the system, but be very aware the source that is really installed for it.
Yeah, and the whole idea here is seek the Lord, right?
Yeah.
You don't react in the flesh,
yeah.
Right? You don't respond to Twitter or I'm not even on any of that stuff, but I do use the internet. And before I react to something, I'm going to seek the Lord.
Yeah.
And I think he'll give us discernment on how to react. So I just want
to
go ahead and
have a question. Was just brought to mind as he was speaking that if you go back to Samuel, how many times they would go to battle, they seek the Lord first.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Remember Saul?
That's
waited, and Samuel didn't show up, because I'll do it myself.
That's right.
Okay?
And this is what dispensationalism has brought to the church. It has told us to ignore the Holy Spirit. He's off somewhere. Do not tap into him, because we don't want to be doing a bunch of cartwheels and barking like dogs. The Holy Spirit is alive and well. He's guiding your life, and we are to tap into that spirit.
Yes.
Yeah. Harder is a mandel, but the Holy Spirit has not lost his authority.
That's right. So I just want to get back. We're going to. How are we doing?
Good.
Oh, yeah.
So I want to get back to this.
I want to elaborate on. When the flesh takes over, you, Paul talks about it, to mortify the flesh.
That's right.
In the Spirit.
That's right.
And even Paul's fought with us.
That's right.
He wills to do something and he doesn't.
Yeah.
He wills not to do
something.
That's
right.
We're in a continual battle with our flesh.
That's right.
Since we're getting back to that, he is the Antichrist comes forth. He's bruised and healed and causes the sacrifice to cease. It even matters over what time period. Is that one day?
Yeah, I do. I think what happens is he has to subdue these other ten horns.
So if he wounded and dead for 3 days.
Right.
Okay, yeah. So it would be dark hours. It would be led unto Christ.
Right.
Yeah.
Only,
that's
good. That works. So we know that when he takes the throne here, it says that he continues 42 months. So that means he's got to die a couple days before.
Yes. Yeah.
Right? And actually, that does make sense, because if you read Daniel 11, there is somebody that steps in between that time.
Yes. Yep.
And then he takes over again. So that's a great point. So this is, once again, the event we're looking for. If you're in Daniel, turn over to 11. And I don't want to get into a lot of Daniel, and I know Jake's probably going to because Daniel is, when you read the book of Daniel, it is the book of Revelation in the Old Testament.
Right. And it was for Daniel's people.
It's
right.
But we weren't part of those people.
Right. Yeah.
And really, what people are we talking about? There's only really one people of God. Jew and Gentile together.
Yeah. Right.
So that's really the picture of
the
elect people. And the elect. The believing Jew and the believing Gentile.
Right. Amen.
What's the deal with Daniel? We weren't invited in yet.
Right. Amen.
But the picture is there, we just saw that we are going to be invited.
That's
right. That's right. So Daniel 11:31 is this event here too. And it's complicated, but I was just looking for this abomination here. And arms shall stand in his part, and they, how are we doing? Am I still in there?
No, you're
not.
Okay,
and they shall pollute the sanctuary, the sanctuary, the temple. Who's they? Antichrist and his army.
Right.
They're going to destroy the saint, they're going to destroy it again, and they shall pollute the sanctuary state, and take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that make it desolate. So who's that? His people, his army. They're going to destroy him. They're going to stop the daily sacrifice. They're going to go put him on the throne. Right here, right? So Daniel 12:11. I can explain this, but once again, 12:11, and from that time the daily sacrifice shall be taken away. Here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Midway point. We're going to see that. The abomination that maketh desolate set up shall be 1,290.
Yeah.
That's 30 more than 60.
Yeah.
So you have plus 30 here. The only thing that's going on here, he still comes here. Jesus still comes here. What's going on here is the cleansing of the temple.
Mm.
30 days of cleansing of the temple.
That's what it takes.
That's what it takes.
You go through the Levitical law.
That's right. 30 days of cleansing.
30 days.
That's all that is.
Yeah.
He's still coming here. He's still coming on the day of the Lord. Right?
We got a whole box.
I always hated the fingernail. Hang on, man.
Okay.
So what you just saw is you have 1260, which is 42 months, 3.5 years, plus 30. It's the cleansing of the temple that you get 1230. Mm-hmm. And then you actually...
We got to read that next line.
Yeah. Go ahead.
It says, how blessed is he who keeps waiting and attains to the 1,335 days.
So now you have plus 45. What does that mean, Mary? This is the Feast of Tabernacles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the Feast of Tabernacles, right, that we're going to celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
But we've already been gathered. And there's see, people off the millennial reign, you're not going to be just sitting on a cloud.
Right?
There's things that have to be done.
Right.
There's jobs. We are going to rule over the wicked. The wicked are going to be under our feet. There is no childbearing during the millennial. It's over. Everybody's been resurrected at that point. There are people that are... Isaiah 65 says that there will be no more infant of days. No more.
No more.
So, infant of days. It's Isaiah 65. So, see, this is another thing that we've been told. Well, they have to repopulate the millennial kingdom. No, they don't. We are kings. It doesn't say, if you have to repopulate the millennial kingdom, that means that we have to witness the people. There's no witnessing going on during the millennial kingdom. He says we're kings and priests. Some of us are going to minister things at the altar. Some are going to rule over people.
here's a real quick thought, because I was taught that. I've been taught that all the way up until today. All right, so when Satan is released and he immediately drags up an army after the thousand-year reign, who are those not those who were bred and raised up underneath the perfect realm of Christ?
Well, if you can see, they're already on his side. They're already part of his kingdom, since they ascend up on the earth and they encompass the camp of the saints.
Okay.
So they're already on his side. When Christ comes, it is over. It's over. Either you're on board or you're not.
Okay, so the resurrected dead, the resurrected sinners, right, that didn't know Christ, have been on the earth for 1,000 years underneath the authority of the Christians, the ones who believe in Christ.
That's right.
So after the 1,000-year reign and Satan's released, and all of a sudden, all the folks who were...
Everybody's gone.
So there is...
Here's the point I'm trying to make there.
You set it down on the table over here.
Okay. So here's the point I'm trying to make there, is when Christ comes, everyone's resurrected.
Okay. Yeah.
Turn to John chapter 5. When Christ comes, everyone's resurrected. Okay. Some are resurrected to resurrection of life, some to the resurrection of damnation.
Yeah.
Everyone's resurrected. So here's my point. I don't know who lives on the earth with us, but they all go. Some go to hell. Some are on the earth. I don't know. That's a gray area for me.
Okay.
But there are clearly people living on the earth. They have to be resurrected because the planet's resurrected.
Right.
You can't be on this planet without an unresurrected body.
Well, we had people on the earth before the flood came, the changing of the earth.
Yeah, and they were living long lives.
Long lives,
right?
Yeah.
So it's going to be restored even better than that.
Right. Well, it says if a child dies at 100 years old.
100. And what kind of child? The child of disobedience.
Right.
So he's already at 100, which he's not a baby.
Yeah.
He's already a child. And people will grow up in resurrected bodies.
Okay.
Right? So you're still going to grow, but you've already made the choice. Either you're for Christ or against Christ. John 5.
Okay.
I'm just quoting scripture. I know. I'm just quoting scripture. Well, let's pick it up. Let's pick it up at 25. John 5, 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming. The hour.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys take it literally, or does an hour mean anything you want it to mean?
No,
it's... I think it's literally. You know what? Take your Bible literally. If John sees these beasts coming up out of the pit, Hal Lindsey's wrong. They're not Apache helicopters. They're a demonic horde that are coming up out of the pit. So when, verse 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. As the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment, also because he is the Son of Man. Verse 28, marvel not at this. I have trouble with it, but I'm not going to marvel at it.
Right.
For the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. One resurrection. There's an order to it. The dead in Christ, then we, and then the wicked. In an hour. Could God do that in an hour? Did he need 6 days to create the planet?
No.
See, a lot of people don't understand all the activity that goes on here. Because the day of the Lord is the day of his coming, the day of the rapture, day of the resurrection, day of judgment, day of Armageddon.
Oh.
And they're going, how can all that take place?
He's God.
He's God. When you read the book of Revelation, he starts to break these down to the hour. And he can do everything in an hour.
He's actually out of the realm of time.
There you go.
We are limited by the realm of time. He's trying to communicate, or he is communicating.
That's right.
using time because that's what we need.
Just simple scripture.
Yeah. What he stopped time like he did in the Old Testament.
That's right. And he even said that he's going to shorten those days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? Think of that. What do we live right now? 365-day years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what is 42 months, 3.5 years, times 300, and then calls it 1,260? 60. He's cutting off 5 days each year. So it's prophetic.
Is that the point, the end point you show there, is that the point when we step out of time and eternity begins and time is no more?
Well, there's always time. When he means time is no more, he means it's it, it's over. This world is finished.
Yeah.
I'm coming. Because even when you read in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, he says that he sets up the tree of life and the leaves are for the months. So time continues, I don't know if it's linear, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Kind of
pushed
it up in my head.
Back in 25, it says, the hour is coming and now is.
Yeah.
What does now is mean?
So when people die,
they're hearing his
voice
right.
Already. So that's going on to this day. But when he's talking about the resurrection of the dead, that's one event. The believer and the, I'm just quoting scripture. That's all I'm doing. And we can look at more at this. Do we want to look at more of this? Or do you want to look at
one day?
That there's resurrection. You know, turn to Revelation 20. Okay, 24. And I saw thrones. Everybody there?
Revelation 24?
24.
20 and
4. Yeah, 20 and 4. Not much. There is no Revelation 24. 20.4.
Yeah.
And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received in his mark upon their forehead or in their hand, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived, now this is the key, but the rest of the dead lived not until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So you can't just stop there.
Right.
You have to read the next verse. Blessed and holy is he that had part in the first resurrection, that the second resurrection?
No.
Death. See, when he comes, the blessed, there's one resurrection. There's the blessed and the unblessed. We're the blessed. Blessed is he who had part in the first resurrection, that the second death. See, we're resurrected unto life. We've been born twice, we die once. They're born once, they die twice. They're resurrected unto death. Damnation is death, not living. They're alive, but suffering. That's the resurrection of the dead.
And wasn't that the warning that God gave to Abraham?
Absolutely.
Or Adam?
Yeah.
If you eat this fruit, in dying you shall die.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that
right?
That's translated?
So what is the second death? You have to keep reading. The second death is found... look at 14.
Mm-hmm.
Look at 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead. They're alive, but they're dead.
Right.
Which were in them, and they were judged every man according to the works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So that's the second death. This is their reward.
Mm-hmm.
Our reward is the kingdom of God. Their reward is death and hell cast into the lake of fire.
Right.
He says it again one more time. Verse 8. 21a. This is them. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. you constantly read through your Bible, he's twice dead, they're twice dead.
Mm-hmm.
They're the opposite of us. We're twice born. Die once, born twice, we get the resurrection of life. They're born once, they die twice when he comes, the second mm-hmm. death, they're resurrected. The only thing that happens at the great white throne judgment is he takes all of them and they're gone. And then after that, it's just us. But during that time, some of them are on the earth with us during that millennial reign. Does it make sense? I'm getting some looks like, why don't you get out of here?
Remember, this is often for many of us, this is the first time we're beginning
right.
to even
right.
hear these things.
That's right.
It may take a little while to crack the shell.
Right.
Okay, because we've been taught
yeah.
a certain thing.
Yeah. And that's all. Look, you can say what you want about me. Maybe you don't like me in the way I look at it. I'm quoting Scripture. That's all I'm doing is quoting Scripture. And honestly, you guys have been very kind to me. And I appreciate it. And I think this is what is happening. Go ahead, Mary.
So, I've heard, and I might be getting a little ahead of the game here, but I've heard that that we're going to be judged on our deeds. Is that?
No.
And if so, I mean, how does that happen?
Okay, so this is the parables. Why did God give us the parables? To understand the kingdom.
Right.
To understand the kingdom, right? So the parable is of the talents, right? The reward is the same. Enter the one that had five and the one that had ten. You know what Jesus said to both of them?
Yeah.
Enter now and have all rest, all good and faithful. That's the reward.
Right.
Now you have positioning. There's no, if they're wrong, there are not a bunch of rewards given to Mary because you're better than I am. The reward is the same. Enter thou into the kingdom
of God.
That's right. The talents are, this is your positioning now in the kingdom. I'm going to give you a head over 20. You know what I'm saying? This is position.
But isn't there something that talks about something being tested with fire and stuff?
Yes,
so.
Yes. 1 Corinthians 3:11.
Yeah.
Is that stuff that we have done? Is that?
So once again, we're not talking about a fire that you're going to go cook in your grill.
Right.
There is a holy fire that is going to come down and it's going to refurbish the earth. Right? It's going to, for us, it's good. It's going to burn off the dross.
Okay.
And you're going to be resurrected. For them, it's bad.
Okay.
It's a suffering burning. And you'll see this. We'll get into this in the book of Revelation, where there's a sea of glass.
Hopefully not over the next
2 weeks. We haven't even gotten here yet.
But it is, but it talks about the vineyard owner that was hired workers.
Yeah.
And the ones that come in at quitting time,
right.
the same reward as the ones that played work all day.
That's right.
It's the same reward.
It's the same reward. The reward is the same. There's positions afterward. And it's not according to how great of a saint you were.
Correct.
That, see, that's what they do. This is almost like Catholicism.
Yeah. Well, that'll take you back to the disciples to find out which one was the better.
And yeah, what did he say? Hey, it's not for you. I'm going to decide.
Right.
Okay, so far we see this event, right? We did Daniel 12. Revelation 13, you're going to see this too. Revelation 13:9. We'll get more into the Antichrist as we move through the book of Revelation. Because he's clearly the rider in chapter 6. Okay, so Revelation 13:5-9. There was given unto him, there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemy, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. So what event are we talking about right here? That's it.
Yeah. Well,
this is when he blasphemes God.
Yeah.
I'm God, worship me. Yeah. This event right here. And he continues 42 months. He's continuing. You know, I'll say this. Every time you see those numbers, the 1260, time, half a time, 42 months, it's always talking about this.
Amen.
People are trying to figure it out here. It's not there. We don't know when this starts.
Right.
We don't know. This is when we start to see. And that is a prophecy. That is our literal
1296 is 88 Webber.
So now you said that once at that midpoint where Antichrist takes over, you said he's killed a little bit before that, but there's somebody that kind of fills in until that halfway point.
It's in the 11. If I go there, we're going to be chasing rabbits.
It's just 3 days. It's just 3 days. It's that short time.
Yes, yeah, that's a short time.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so verse 13:6. And he opened his mouth and blasphemed against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given to him to make war with what?
The saints.
I thought we were gone.
Amen.
He's going to make war with the saints. When? At this point.
Right.
To overcome them. And power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. So this is when he becomes the global dictator.
Right.
This is when the mark is offered. Not some vaccine. I still wouldn't take it. I wouldn't touch it. It's up to you. I'm not touching it. Not only is it practice run, I also think there's some RNA, DNA things going on there that could cause you to worship words here.
Yes, I agree with that.
I'm not taking it.
A little bit further, verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, talking about the Antichrist, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So, again, that's proof that we're still on the earth. Your name, you're here. You can't be there, right? You can't be in heaven.
That's right.
You've got to be on the earth, and your name's got to be written. Those are the only ones that are not going to be fooled by this. Everybody else will.
And that's the whole point of taking the mark. The mark is that you actually worship him first.
Right.
See, by taking the mark, he's not going to fool you into worshiping him. What you're going to do is you're going to identify him first, and then you go, oh yeah, I'll take it, because I'm already worshiping him. God is not going to let you do it. He will not let you take that mark, whether if it's by in prison or moving you into the wilderness for 3.5 years or death. He's not going to let you take it. Turn to our, before we move, how much time have we got?
15. Well, actually, we need to start.
15 minutes.
15. Okay, my wife says 15 minutes. But we need to start pumping the
horse. We're going by her.
See, my problem is that we.
10 minutes and then just to wind it up. Okay, Revelation 3. Revelation 3. I want to move on. I want to get to that. Revelation 3:10. Okay? This is what the free trippers call the free trip rapture.
Okay.
You tell me if that's what that's saying. Revelation 3:10. Because thou has kept the word of thy patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the earth to try them to dwell upon the earth. Tell me one event that is going to try the whole world that God says, I'm going to keep you from that temptation. It's a temptation.
The mark.
He didn't say, I'm removing you. He said, I'm going to keep you from it. He's not going to allow you. God is not going to, I don't know how to put it. I put no trust in myself. I'm a loser. I'm sick of myself. I'm sick of being me. My faith is not in me. It is him. And that's what this is doing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Is it? Who's not having fun? Okay.
It talks about him that overcome it.
And him that overcome it.
The trial that was just presented.
That's right. And that's a common theme in the book of Revelation. He who overcome it.
Right.
Overcome it what? Nothing? That you're driving home playing Christian music and we're gone? No, you're overcoming something.
I think what a lot of people that want to be pre-tribbers, they're afraid of the tribulation. They're afraid of what they're going to
do. I am.
But the thing is, we got to look at the examples that the Lord has given us.
That's right.
He's given us Stephen. He's given us the apostles.
That's right.
And the songs for
that's
that.
Right. Servant
and
of
he
the
brought
devil.
Them
that's
through
right.
it.
Yeah.
He brought them through it. And they were praising him.
That's right.
They weren't standing there scared, taking in their
No, they weren't, Mayor. They weren't.
And honestly, to tell you, gave them the strength to get through it and to pray through it.
This is exciting to me. I'm actually not afraid. I'm not afraid. It's not because I'm Rambo. I'm not afraid. I'm actually excited to see what God is going to do during this time.
Yeah. Well, Alan had a hand up. This is 1 Corinthians 10:13. There is no temptation overtaking you, but such as God
right.
man.
That's right.
He continues on from
That's
there.
Right. Temptation. The pre-tribbers say, well, this is the pre-figure being removed before the tribbers. So now an hour of temptation now becomes the removal before a seven-year period. What makes more sense? Well,
back to what Mary was just talking about, and especially like says Stephen, this is the first two lines of chapter 10, or verse 10, because thou hast kept my patience, the word of my patience.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
Anybody, if you're not keeping his word, you ought to be scared.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I have a fear of God. And this is what I think is going on. I honor that man because he has entrusted me to do this. That's honorable. And I have a fear of God that I'm misrepresenting him. So you keep me in prayer. You keep us in prayer. What is happening here is special.
Well, I got one more thing. The only way that we are going to what Alan was talking about is by staying in the Word.
Yeah.
Every day.
It's in the Word. It's at every day. We don't need the internet. Yeah. We don't need TV. We don't need sports. We need the Word. We need this.
Right.
And in the trials we go through, are the Lord exercising us for that purpose.
Right.
That's why we are to look towards our trials
That's right.
with happiness, because all it is going down to the gym
That's right.
and working out so you can be strong enough when the day comes.
That's right. And that's it. Next week, we'll get into a couple words, tribulation and wrath. And you'll see a clear difference between the two.
The Lord's been kind of asking me to deal with this for quite a while, so if it's all right, I'd like to somewhat finish with this. It's in Hebrews 10. Starting at 21, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with the pure water, the living waters that Jesus has talked about. Then let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another, like we are, to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
That's
great.
Well,
that's great.
It's all about the word of mouth referrals of our Lord and Savior.
That's right.
It's interpersonal.
That's right.
It's not done through the internet. It's person to person. Interacting with each other.
That was an excellent. Thanks.
Well, he's been on me to say it for a while. And
that's what's going on.
Great.
See, they don't do church like this. They don't do it. You sit there and shut up.
Hebrews 10.
Yeah, I'm gonna sit up here and tell you jokes, 15 minutes, 5 points, and then go home.
Yeah.
This is how it works.
God's word is powerful. He has given us the power of our words as well. That's why the word must be spoken.
That's right.
That's why we need to go out there
That's right.
and we need to speak his word to those that don't know.
God's not showing us this to go sit on our thumbs and
right.
yell at a bunch of pre-tribbers. He is showing us this to warn people. Go ahead, Jay.
The false teachings that have been taught, if you read your scriptures carefully, you can see there's a lot of scripture that totally contradict the false teachings that the churches have been doing. So if you make sure that your doctrine totally lines up with all scripture, you're not going to be in error. But if it's obvious that your belief on a passage is totally contradicting other
That's right.
scriptures,
That's right.
you know you're in error.
That's right. So let's wrap this up. Right here. Okay, so we got Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. And we'll wrap this up, and then there's actually one more verse. Let's just get through this. So Matthew 24:15. We're told, right, we just read Matthew 24:3. What is the sign of your coming and the end of the world? So they're asking them this whole event here. Mm-hmm. So Matthew 24:15 says, When ye therefore shall see, you shall see the abomination of desolation as spoken by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place. Do you see the next couple words there?
Mm-hmm.
He wants you to go read it.
Yeah.
And that's what we did. That's where we got our base from. We went to see where Daniel got, where he got this from, and we're told we're going to see this event. Same thing. Mark 13 says the same thing. But ye shall see the abomination. Mark 13, 14. When ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, as in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Let him who understands read it. Let them in Judea flee. So Luke 21:20. When ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, know that the desolation is nigh. Verse 31. So likewise, when you see these things, look up, know that the kingdom of heaven is nigh. So we are told markers to look for. One more place. First, 2 Thessalonians.
I didn't catch Luke.
Luke 21, 20 and 31. So 2 Thessalonians, real quick here, and we'll get into this next week, because this is what got me going. This chapter is what got me. There's a lot of meat in this chapter right here. Everybody there?
2 Thessalonians.
Chapter 2. This is this event. This is this event right here. Now, is Thessalonians, I'm Greek. I know where this is. This is in Greece. Gentiles. See what they do with all this other stuff? They always want to put it on the Jews. Well, the Jews, they're going to get persecuted. They're going to get martyred. It's not for you. Matthew 24, that's not for us. That's for the Jews. You know where they get that from? Because there's 5 verses that says, by him who be in Judea flee. Jesus is not coming to Scottsville. He's not coming to Caledonia. He's coming to Israel. But it's for all of us. Okay, so here's the key to this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus. The coming, right?
Mm-hmm.
The coming of the Lord Jesus and our gathering unto him. What event is that?
The rapture,
right? Rapture and resurrection are the same event. They are the same event. That ye should not be shaken in mind, nor troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from us, that the, what did he just call the event? The day of Christ is at hand, within reach. Let no man deceive you.
That's a key word.
Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived by the prophecy teachers. Let no man deceive you by any means for that day. What day? The rapture. The coming, the gathering. Shall not come except there be a what?
Falling away.
And what?
The sun and
what event is this?
Revelation and abomination.
How do I know that? I'm told to the Gentiles, we're going to see this event right here.
Mm-hmm.
There goes the free trip right out the window. Okay? And how do I know it's this event? Well, look at verse 4. Who opposeth it and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. It's right. That's the event. We're told we're going to see it. And as we move forward, you will see we don't get raptured here either. So far, if I did just a survey, the second coming, the rapture, the gathering, the resurrection, where would you put it? Would you put it here? Would you put it here? Or would you put it here?
Yeah.
That's today's
Amen. And we've done time.
I want to thank you. Father God, I do. I just thank you for the spirit that's here. I just thank you that your word is perfect and you are gathering together a remnant of children that just want to trust you and want to believe in you and want to see the truth no matter how it plays out. As my brothers have said, they just want to know the truth. And I thank you, Father God, for this opportunity to share these things, to prepare our people for what's coming, and to not be blindsided and blindfolded by words of men. You said, let God be true and every man a liar. And I pray, Father God, that we have honored you here today and have glorified you because your Son is perfect, your word is perfect, and without fault. And I pray for this morning's service, Lord, the message that you have given the pastor, that you would feed us your word and encourage us and cause your word to sink past our feeble little brains and into our heart and draw us nearer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.